great things he hath done. Let's stand to our feet this morning in the honor of God's word. I'd like you to turn with me in the Bible to John chapter number 10. John chapter number 10, begin reading in verse number 14. And I hope you'll keep your Bibles open this morning. John chapter number 10 and verse number 14. The Bible says, the Lord Jesus speaking says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father hath known me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Also, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse number 16. The Bible says, there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And I want to preach on that thought this morning. One fold and one shepherd. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be here. And we thank you, Lord, that we're able to take thy word and read it. And Lord, seek guidance from it. Lord, I pray that you would help me as I stand to preach. I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, how I need thee. Lord, how we need to hear from heaven. I can't do this in myself. I know that. So, Lord, I'm asking that you would anoint the messenger. And I pray, Lord, that you would spread the message into our lives and our hearts. Lord, may we take heed of thy word today. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to be obedient when it comes time to respond. And I pray for those that are in our midst today that do not have that perfect peace, that heaven's going to be their home. I pray that this day they would get this matter settled. And Lord, that they would go away knowing that they have eternal life in Christ. And for those of us that are saved, I pray that you'll bless us with the truths of your word. Lord, may thy will be done now. Hide me, Lord, behind the cross. We'll give you the glory for all that's accomplished. For it's in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I hold in my hand today the Bible. It's God's Word. It's not just an ordinary book. It is the book of all books. Amen? It's the inspired, the inerrant, the infallible Word of God. There is absolutely no doubt about that in my heart and my mind. When I take the Bible and I open it up, I realize I'm not reading just words. I'm reading God's Word to man. And in reading God's Word to man, I begin to understand that in this Bible, we find the answer to all of life's questions and the solution to all of life's problems. And in thinking about this today, we find some wonderful things. We realize that we're living in a very religious world. Do you realize there's more religious people now than ever? More religions and more religious people than ever. By the way, everything basically is religion, isn't it? Evolution's a religion. It's a belief system. Very false. Islam is a religion, so we understand that. But religion in the sense of this society is based on what you do and many times on who you are. For instance, in the Bible we find people called scribes and Pharisees. They were very religious people, weren't they? But most of them had no relationship with the Lord. They had an understanding of certain things, and they were students of the Old Testament. But being a religious person will not get you to heaven. There's a lot of people that has religion. But dear friends, it takes more than just religion. And in this passage of Scripture, the Lord reveals to us a very precious and wonderful truth. He shows us some things about life. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 10. The Bible says, the Lord Jesus speaking again says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. So the Lord Jesus is teaching us some things about life here. He's teaching us some things about eternal life. He says, I'm come that they might have life. That's talking about life eternal. In other words, the reason the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world was to bring us eternal life. The Bible says, the Bible teaches us that in the Gospel of John. John closes and says, I've given you these things that you can know how to be saved. In the book of 1 John says, I've given you these things for those of you that are saved so that you can know that you are saved. So one's how to be and one is to know that you are. But here we see the Lord Jesus speaking and He says, I'm come that you can have life. Today, would you understand that the Lord Jesus wants to give you everlasting, eternal life? How long is that? It's forever. We're talking about life. Do you realize people that die without the Lord, while they never really die, that they're going through everlasting death? You think about it. When I get saved, I receive eternal life. But if you don't trust Christ as your Savior, then you are going to experience eternal death. And God is going to give you a body that's going to be able to withstand the horrors of hell, and you will be dying all the time, but never, never truly dying. What a thought. He says, I'm come that they might have life. He's teaching us some things about life. He says, not only life, but abundant life. Not only do I have the precious gift of eternal life, I'm saved and I know that I'm saved. I'm saved not because I'm so good, I'm saved because He's so good. Amen? I'm saved not because I've done anything, because He did everything. And I put my faith in what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. And the moment that I trusted Christ as my Savior, at that very instant I entered into everlasting eternal life. But now, I'm living in this world. I'm not experiencing heaven now. I get glimpses of glory. I get touches of heaven in my life. I get the blessings of God. There's no doubt. But I want you to understand that while I'm not in heaven and I'm not there in perfection, I already have everlasting life. But I not only have that, I have abundant life. Think about it. Not only is heaven going to be mine, and it's just as good as mine already because I have everlasting life. He that hath the Son hath life, present possession. But now I have abundant life. You know what that means? That means I have the promises of God for now. Oh yes, I have heaven later. But I have His presence with me every day. That's abundant life. That's what I have because of the Lord. So we see that He's teaching us things about eternal life and about abundant life. And then He helps us to understand that this eternal life is not about religion. It's about a relationship. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 11. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. So He's saying that there has to be a relationship. You have to be a part of the sheepfold, if you will. You have to be a part of God's fold, and Christ has to be your shepherd. So you have to be a part of this family. You have to be a part of this relationship. And this morning I want us to look, as we think about one fold and one shepherd, I want you to see that this one fold and one shepherd is determined by your relationship to the Lord. And I want us to see this relationship this morning. First of all, I want you to see that it is a loving relationship. It's a loving relationship. Back in our text this morning, what we've read in verse number 14, He said, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As my Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. There's not two heavens, one for Jews and one for Gentiles. Dear friends, when we're saved, the Lord Jesus Christ came and He broke down that middle wall partition, and all of us, when we're saved, goes into one fold. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. We find here the loving relationship that we have with the Lord when we become a part of this family. You remember what the Bible says in the book of 1 John, chapter number 4, verse number 19. The Bible says we love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. He says, I have come, I am the good shepherd, and I have come to give life. I brought eternal life, and I brought abundant life. But you have to enter into this relationship. And this is a loving relationship. How much he loved us is shown right here in these verses that we've read in John chapter number 10. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 15. He says, I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse number 17, he says, because I lay down my life. Notice again in verse number 18, he says, I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. In John chapter number 15, verse 13, the Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus says here, I lay my life down for you. I lay it down. No man taketh my life from me. I'm laying my life down because I love you. What a relationship. Nobody loves us the way that Jesus loves us. Nobody cares for us the way that Christ cares for us. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus says, I'm laying my life down for you. I'm bringing people together. The Lord invites you into a relationship, and He's made the way for all who wants to be a part of this family. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad that God didn't say it's exclusive to the point that you know, you can get in because of the color of your skin, because of your nationality, because of your knowledge. No, He says whosoever. Red, yellow, black, and white. Big or small. Rich or poor. It doesn't matter what language you speak. Jesus loves you, and He laid down His life for you. And He says that if you'll call upon Him, He will save you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever. I'm glad it's a loving relationship. And this loving relationship is extended to whosoever. Anybody can be saved today. Anybody can have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And once you become one of the believers, then you become a part of this one fold. And you have one shepherd. Christ is that shepherd. It certainly is a loving relationship, isn't it? It's a beautiful relationship. When I think about how He lays down His life for the sheep, He cares for us so. Nobody ever cared for us the way He cares for us. I want you to think about all He went through. I want you to think about how He left the portals of glory and took upon Himself the form of a servant, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The most horrible of all deaths, the most horrific of deaths. Why did Jesus do that? To prove that He was God? He did it because He loved you. And today, if you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you're saying no to the greatest love that could ever be a part of your life. I have a mom and dad that I love dearly that loves me. God, when I was 21 years old, brought a lady into my life. Fell in love with her. I don't know of another person in this world that I love like I love her. That's my wife, of course, just so you'll know that. Please know that. And then just a few years later, God gave us a child, Faith. Of course, we had one child that we still believed in heaven. I know I've said that many times, but I cannot mention that we have only two children. I believe we have three, one in heaven. But she brought into this world through her womb a little girl named Faith, and then a couple years later a little boy named Joe. Reluctantly named Joe, but that's his name. If you've been a part of Phoebe Fellowship, she's probably told you the story. All these ladies are shaking their head. You're supposed to keep some things quiet. His name's supposed to be Luke Benjamin. But I say his name is what it's supposed to be. Don't he look like a Joe? He acts like a Joe? He is a Joe. You know, somebody says, if it looks like a skunk, smells like a skunk, it's a skunk. I'm not comparing Joe to a skunk, but I'm just saying. There's some other Joes around here too, right? So. But I love those two children. I would lay my life down for these people. There's no doubt. You know? But what about for people that doesn't love me? That doesn't care about me? How far would I go? I'd like to think that I would do things to help people. But sometimes I look at people and it's like I have a hard time truly loving them. But Jesus looked at me and he saw all my sin and all my shame and all my failures. And he says, I love Joe. And he gave himself for me. He laid down his life for me. And the moment I trusted Christ as my Savior, I became a part of His fold. And He became my shepherd. It's a loving relationship. Not only do we see that it's a loving relationship, I want you to see it is a living relationship. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 10. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. We have a promise here, and it's that this is a living relationship in the fact that he cares so much for us. The Lord doesn't save us and leave us to fend for ourselves. This is a relationship that we have with Him. And the Bible teaches us in this passage of Scripture that the sheep hear His voice and He calleth them. The Bible says in verse number 4, when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them. The Lord guides us through life. It's a relationship, a living relationship. In other words, it's growing every day. It's not dead. It's something that the Lord is using in our lives to bring us closer to Him and help us to be more like Him and to strengthen us and keeps us safe, if you will. The Bible says the reason that this is possible, the Bible says, wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost to come unto God, that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. You see, this is where we understand that not only has He given us eternal life, but He's given us abundant life. This is what the abundant life is all about. That He knows us and we know Him. And He doesn't take us anywhere that He does not go before us. That's what a living relationship is. It's something that grows us. It's our life growing. It's a living relationship. It's a relationship that's growing every day. And the reason that we're so safe in the Lord is because He ever liveth. My Savior is not dead. Christians are living today as though Christ, when He died on the cross, He didn't rise up the third day. But the Bible says He is alive. And He ever liveth to make intercession for them. For those that put their faith in Him, He ever liveth. That's the reason I know that I'm saved. The Bible says He's able to save them to the uttermost. That means completely. That means I can't have it today and lose it tomorrow. When I trust Christ, I enter that moment into eternal life. And I have an eternal salvation. Because He ever liveth to make intercession for me. It's a loving relationship. It's a living relationship. But I want you to see, thirdly, it's a lasting relationship. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 22. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. Not the works that I do in my Father's name. They bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We find in this portion of Scripture that our Lord's returning to the temple. It's a couple months later now. The scribes and the Pharisees begin to question him strongly about certain things. They came and they say, How long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. They begin to ask him certain things, and he says, I've told you before. And you wouldn't believe me. Why? Because they're not of his sheep. They're not of his fold. They had religion, but they had no relationship. They had great religion. But dear friends, your heaven's not going to be based on religion. It's going to be based on a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 27, he speaks to them about this relationship being a relationship that lasts forever. One of the great passages of Scripture we find in the Bible helps us to understand that our life is eternal life. He says, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You ought to have that marked in your Bible. When you're His sheep, you shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We're safe in the hands of the Lord. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. What a promise. Never perish. No man can pluck them out of my hand. No man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now I and my Father are in this thing together. We're one. And we're working to keep you safe and secure. It's a lasting relationship. Your heaven's going to be based not on how much you know, but on who you know. Not on what you've done, but on what Christ has done. Somebody said, and I know I've said this probably 20 or 30 times since I've been here, religion's based on do, but salvation is based on done. Jesus has already done everything that needs to be done in order for you to go to heaven. If you think you can work your way to heaven, then you need to read your Bible. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works. But once you're saved, once you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you enter into a relationship, and it's a loving relationship. And it's a living relationship. He's there every day for you. But it's a lasting relationship. You're safe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one fold and one shepherd. And once you enter into that fold and Christ becomes your shepherd, you're safe in Him. He and His Father work together. They've accomplished everything that needs to be accomplished. By the way, this relationship's the only way for anyone to go to heaven. You can't trust religion. Religion will do for you what the Bible says in verse 19. It says, There was a division therefore among the Jews for these sayings. Many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And he's referring back to chapter number 9 when he opened the eyes of the blind. These people were talking about religion. They didn't realize that this was the divine Son of God. They had seen Him work miracles, but what they needed to do is they needed to hear what He had to say about life. We need to see all these things. Yes, God's able to heal the blinded eyes, and He's able to do that, to make the lame to walk, and, and to make the deaf to hear. We realize all this, and these people are arguing, this man's, you know, given his power by the devil, and one says, can the devil do these things? See, religion is confusion. But when you enter into this relationship, you find that the Word of God will settle your doubts and confusion. Because it's a relationship where Christ is always there. And you have the Bible to answer the questions of life and to solve the problems of life. Many's going to hear and reject, aren't they? How many times have you told somebody about the Lord and they just turned you off? Dear friends, we need to realize that while many may hear and reject, some will hear and believe. And it's not up to us to determine who's going to hear and reject and who's going to hear and believe. It's just up to us to tell. May the Lord help us. There's no other way but to believe what the Bible has to say. There's only one fold and one shepherd. It's not a religion, but a relationship. And by the way, in a true relationship, a true loving relationship, the more you love someone, the more you're willing to do what it is they want done. And so if you've entered into this relationship, it ought to be your desire as a believer to do whatever it is Christ wants you to do with His life, with your life. If you've not entered that relationship, then today you've heard about Jesus. You've heard about His love. You've heard about how He died for you on the cross of Calvary. You've heard how that He cares so wonderfully for you, and how that if you'll put your faith in Him, that you'll become a part of one fold, and He'll be your shepherd, and He'll guide you safely home. What a Savior. Let's bow our heads forward to prayer. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. I want you to think about some things. I want you to think about your life. Do you have the relationship with the Lord? Are you trusting your religion, or are you trusting relationship with Christ? You think you're going to heaven because you come to church? You know you're going to heaven because you put your faith in Christ. Dear friends, if you think that you're going to heaven because you've walked through the doors of a church, you're sadly mistaken. There's only one way to heaven. It's through and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus paid it all. It's all to Him we owe. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for me. And He says you can have eternal life. If you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I've got it. I've got eternal life. I'm not perfect. I've not done everything that ought to do with my life, but I know for sure, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior." If you can say, "That's me, preacher," would you just raise your hand, leave it up just for a moment, say, "I'm saved. I'm not perfect, but I've trusted Jesus as my Savior." God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much. You can put your hands down. How many would say, "Preacher, I didn't lift my hand just a moment ago. I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. If I were to die today, I don't know for sure that heaven would be my home." I've heard what you had to say today, and I'm considering these things. But right now, I know I don't want to die and go to hell. I know I don't want to die without Jesus as my Savior. And I'm going to ask that you'd pray for me. "Preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm saved, and I'm concerned about my eternity." Would you raise your hand? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. But right now you're saying, "Pray for me, preacher. I'm not saved. I don't want to die without the Lord. Would you pray for me?" Would there be one this morning? "Preacher, that's me. That's me. Pray for me. Please, preacher, pray for me." How many would say, "You know, I know I'm saved. God's dealing with me about these things. Because He loves me so much, because He's done so many things for me, God's dealing with me. I know there's some more things I need to do with my life. I need to be more faithful in certain areas. I need to step out and do certain things. God's just dealing with me about certain things in my life personally. Right now, God is dealing with me about certain issues. And I want you to pray for me, preacher, that I'll just do God's will." Would you raise your hand? "That's me, preacher. I'm saved. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. God." Many, many, many hands. Thank you for that. I appreciate that so much. Oh, may God help us all. Just a moment. Why don't you come and say, "Lord, help me to take the next step," or "Help me to do what it is You placed in my heart to do," or "Help me to seek, Lord, Your will and do it." Father, I pray that Thy will would be done in this time of invitation. Lord, would You give us that which we need? And Lord, would You help us to respond in a way that's pleasing to Thee? For it's the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I do pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want you to quietly stand to your feet this morning.